Thank you so much, Noah, for praying, and LJ for reading our scripture. It's so fun to have so many different kinds of people participating in these sorts of services, and I'm glad that you are here from wherever you are today. My name is Bronwyn Murphy. I'm one of the pastors here at University Covenant Church, and usually I'm in Kids Zone, but today, this week, I get to preach here. I'm excited to join you all. So before we begin, I want you to be prepared for this sermon here. I want you to find in your house, wherever you are, a pen or a marker or something to write with, and a piece of paper or something to write on. So you can take a minute, you could pause this if you need to, and go through and find something. I want you to be prepared for toward the end. So my question to all of you today, from wherever you are, is look around in your space where you are. Do you have any pets? Are there any animals in your space? Because if I was at home right now, I would have two dogs that look sort of like this. Two dogs right next to me, Snoopy and Dodger, my trusty Labrador Retriever mixes. But actually, I started life not as a dog owner, but a cat owner. So when I was younger, my sister and I had two cats, and one cat was named Lucy. Lucy was an awesome cat. Lucy was the kind of cat that snuggled up to you when you went to sleep. She was the kind of cat that came to you and wanted to be pet and played with. She was the kind of cat that greeted us at the front door. My sister and I walked home from school, walked home from the bus stop. She was awesome, and she loved us so much, and we loved her. Now, at the same time, we had a cat named Maggie along with Lucy, and Maggie kind of looked like this cat I have here. She was a calico cat. She was white, black, and a little bit of red, this long, beautiful fur and beautiful eyes. But let me tell you what, that was about as good as it got with Maggie. Because Maggie was nothing like Lucy. Maggie did not care when we came home from school. Maggie did not want to sleep in our bed with us. In fact, sometimes when we go to pet Maggie, she would run away from us entirely. I remember one time we came home from a three-day weekend vacation visiting my grandparents up in Santa Cruz. We come home in our driveway, we open the garage door, and Lucy runs out to greet us. She jumps in our lap, my sister and I are petting her. And we didn't see Maggie anywhere. And we actually didn't see Maggie for about another week. I don't know if she was on her own vacation or just got tired of us being gone, but Maggie was out. And she did not want to see us. And so as this pattern of behavior continued to repeat, I thought to my 7-year-old self, Maggie, I'm not going to love you anymore. I'm going to stop loving you, kitty cat, because you don't love me. You're mean to me. You don't let me play with you. You don't let me pet you. Lucy is way nicer to me. Maggie, I'm not going to love you anymore. Okay, that sounds kind of ridiculous, but for my 7-year-old self, it was a very serious moment in which I said I'm not going to love my pet anymore. If we look at this passage that LJ read, we are talking about, Paul is talking about, how do we respond when people treat us in unkind ways, when people treat us unlovingly, when people treat us in ways that are unfair, how do we respond? How should we respond? Now, in order to understand where we're going today, we need to understand where we began. And if we understand where we began in Romans chapter 12, we will know that these instructions from Paul about how to behave and how to interact with people who are unkind to us don't just come from nowhere. They're not just random postscripts at the end of this chapter. They are actually very intentional. It's like I took my son to LA last week on a road trip. We didn't just end up in Los Angeles by chance or at random or with nothing in between, right? We looked back and we started in Davis. It took us some time to get where we are going. So where have we been? If we look at verse 1 of this chapter, it says this, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And it goes on, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in view of God's mercy, in view of his goodness, his grace, his patience, his love, we can be transformed. We can behave in changed ways. The practice of being transformed is the practice of learning how to do things differently than we've done them before. We don't have to respond to people the same way we've always responded to them. He talks about this right away in verse 17. He says, do not repay evil for evil. Don't repay evil for evil. When someone does something unkind to you, right, we should not immediately go ahead and do something unkind back. Because when we do this, the stakes get higher and higher and higher, and the evil grows more and more and more. Let me tell you what this has looked like at a point in my life. Right? This story actually comes from the same time I had these two cats in my house. So my sister is 2 years younger than me. So at this time that this story is taking place, I was probably 8 and she was probably 6. So in my mind, at age 8, I'm bigger, faster, and stronger than her. Or so I thought. So at this one time, we're in her bedroom and we get into an argument. And the argument begins with shouting, right? Back and forth. If you have kids or you are a kid, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So she starts yelling at me, I start yelling at her, we get louder and louder and louder, and then finally I give her a shove. And she responds to my shove with a kick to the shins. And I keep shoving, she keeps kicking, and then right in the middle of this fight, as things are escalating and escalating, I get a cardboard box, like a Home Depot cardboard box, and I put my sister inside the box. And I put the top on, and I push it down the hallway. Push it down the hallway, to the foyer, out to the porch, slam the door, and walk away. And now at this point, my mom has come over and said, like, what's all this yelling? What's going on? And where's your sister? So, well, we were fighting, and Kendall's on the front porch in a box, right? As you would. Right? Because the fight just kept escalating and escalating to the point where now my sister was stuck in the box on the front porch. This is what happens when we continue to repay evil for evil. My sister is fine now. She's 36. She lives up in Washington. We're good friends now. So she's out of the box. It all worked out. Right? Do not repay evil for evil. Verse 18. If it is possible, in so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Ooh-wee. This one. This makes us go back and read that, huh? In so far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So I heard that, Paul. You know, I think about when he's writing this, he's actually writing to the Roman church, instructing the Roman church. So when he says, in so far as it depends on you, that's not us reading it and pointing the finger out. In so far as it depends on you, all you other people out there. No, the finger's pointed right back at us. In so far as it depends on me. You put your name on there. So far as it depends on me, Bronwyn Murphy. Live at peace with everyone. See, we are actually the ones called to change and transform. This is not waiting around for the other person to get their act together, not waiting around for the other person to become kind or to stop doing the thing it is they are doing that really upsets us or irritates us. It is us being called to change. Now, I have the great and good fortune of working at our weekday preschool here, University Covenant Nursery School. It is awesome. I get to sub in preschool. And I have seen a version of this story and its reconciliation play out time and time again, including when my own kids were here. The story goes something like this. Two kids are playing in the sandbox. One kid gets a shovel, starts digging sand out of the sandbox, and gets really excited, and suddenly sand is flinging everywhere. And sand gets into the eye of the second kid. The other kid says, hey, why'd you do that? I have sand in my eyes. If you've ever had sand in your eye, it's terrible. Right? It's a terrible, weird feeling. The second kid, who just got sand in their eye, picks up a handful of sand and psh, throws sand right in the eye of the other kid. Right? And now both kids have sand in their eye, and they're both really sad. At this point, the teachers have made their way over. And they go to the first kid, and they say something like this. Hey, look at your friend over there. Look at his face. What do you think he's feeling? The kid says, he's crying. He looks sad. And then, I am sorry I threw sand in your face. I made you sad. I'm sorry. And the other kid, who retaliated, looks at their friend, and sees them crying and says, "I'm sorry I threw sand in your face." And this beautiful moment of redemption, reconciliation happens. And this happens on the daily, on the regular, in our preschool classes and preschool classes around the world, right? And many times, these two kids are the same two kids we see playing together in perfect harmony later on, right? It takes someone to break that cycle of evil, lest it keep going and going. It takes someone to commit to living in peace with one another. You know, as I was prepping this sermon, I was going through this section. I thought, Bronwyn, it's okay, but I have a question. What happens when someone is so unkind that it's devastating, destructive, and what if it's even dangerous? What if their unkindness is dangerous? I look back on this passage, and so far as it depends on me to live at peace. And you know what? Maybe in those situations, living at peace is removing yourself from that situation for a time. Living at peace might look differently depending on your circumstances, right? But we are called to live at peace so far as it depends on us. Paul goes on in verse 19 and following. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. Ooh-wee. Okay, those are some big feeling words. Revenge, wrath, all of those things. All right, here's where your paper and your pen or whatever writing instrument you have come in handy. I want you to write down as many feeling words as you can, as many emotions as you can. Happy, mad, sad, glad, excited, frustrated, all those words. Write them down. And any others you think of. If you need to, you can pause this section and think about them and write them. All right, now I want you to look over your list. Look over all those big feeling words on your list. And my friend, here's the thing. God can handle all of those feelings. Because we serve and love a God who cares deeply about justice. God cares deeply about justice, about making things right when the world is wrong. We do not have to take revenge on our own selves. God can repair what is broken. I think about this ornament I have on my Christmas tree. I'm not very sentimental about very many things, but there's an ornament that I have that was made by someone who loved and cared for me and my sister when we were very young. She made a ceramic elephant. The ceramic elephant hangs on my tree year after year after year. But one year, about 3 years ago, it fell off the tree. And I came home to this elephant shattered in pieces on the floor. And I got my super glue and I put it back together. And there it hangs for all these years later. God can repair what is broken. We serve and love a God who cares deeply about justice. Paul continues, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This sounds a little bit like how we started in verse 17. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a section in there about when we show kindness to people who are unkind to us. It says, it is like we are heaping burning coals on their head. And you're like, what? Burning coals does not sound like a kind thing to do to someone. It sounds like a rude thing to do to someone. But what that's saying is when we continue to be kind to people who are unkind to us, we leave room for God to work in that other person, just as God is working in us. Because remember, in so far, it depends on us, on me. Live at peace. How do we do this? This is hard. This is hard. If we go back to verse 1, remember, in light of God's mercies, in light of his goodness, his grace, his love, his compassion, in light of God's mercies, we're able to live changed and transformed. We do not have to respond the same way we've always responded. But transformation is not an easy process. Transformation is probably not something that's going to happen just tomorrow, especially if we've had these patterns of behavior for a long time. So think about one of my best friends lives in Florida. And one time I went to visit her, she took me to a butterfly zoo. I think it's called the Butterfly Sanctuary, but I like to call it Butterfly Zoo. It sounds more fun. There's all kind of butterflies. Think about all the butterflies you've ever seen. All the different colors, all the different sizes, all the different wingspans. But we know butterflies don't start life as butterflies. They actually begin as these squishy, grayish, greenish, bluish, little worm-like creatures with fuzzy feet called caterpillars. And caterpillars are fairly unremarkable, right, compared to a butterfly. Butterflies start their life as this caterpillar. But eventually, and I don't know how the caterpillar knows when it's supposed to do this, but this caterpillar forms a chrysalis. And in that chrysalis, it basically turns to goo. This caterpillar goes in there, turns into like soup, right? And is reformed and emerges later, transformed as the beautiful butterflies we know and love. Right? If we are following Romans chapter 12, living, how do we live as Christians in this world? How do we treat other people in the church, outside the church, people who are nice to us, people who are unkind to us? If we are truly living this way, we will experience transformation. Right? So here's what I'd love us all to do. With your papers that I hope you still have and your pen that you still have, I want you to take some space and I want you to draw a butterfly. Now, I'm not an artist. That's why I'm a pastor. I'm not an artist. But I want us to draw this butterfly because as we're drawing this butterfly, I'm going to read through Romans 12 in its entirety. And I want us to think about, in what ways is God calling us to be transformed in the way we respond to people who are unkind to us? In what ways is he calling us to do that? I'm going to read Romans chapter 12 as we do that. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to each of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, lead diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do that cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with those of low position. Do not be conceited. And do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, so long as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That, my friends, is Romans chapter 12. Amen.